Hey guys, welcome to Debunked, our podcast where we discuss quite literally everything about anything. My name is Soman, I'll be your host today along with...
Tree.
Kailosh.
And today we have a guest speaker with us. Hey Shravya.
Shravya.
Okay, so without further ado, let's begin. Today is our first episode for 2021, and I wish it was on something that wasn't, again, like doom and gloom and generally related to politics, but, you know, this week has been kind of crazy, especially what just happened with the Capitol. So we're going to be talking about the underlying problems of the American democracy and how this attack on the Capitol has kind of, you know, really brought this up into conversation and to mind. So, Shri, if you could fill us in on everything that has happened up until now, just to catch our viewers to speed.
Mm-hmm. So, if many, right, the US election recently happened, and due to the pandemic and a lot of remote voters who had to mail in their ballots, that had many people questioning the validity of the elections. Right after that, many people who weren't in favor with the results of our election had many people angry and really questioning the future of our nation. Right, some of these people decided eventually, after many requests to overturn these decisions, eventually gave up and decided to leave it be. Right, they saw that the results were fair. After many recounts, they decided to withdraw their requests. But some people weren't happy regardless. Regardless of how many ever times they recounted it or they validated the results, people were still questioning it, and eventually it led to a more violent uprising. Right? It started off on an online platform of social media where they were discussing things, and eventually it led to how people decided that they could potentially siege the Capitol, right? There were entire pages of research done in finding out the floor plans, the of the Capitol building, and what type of resources it would take to siege it. And eventually they found out that with enough people and enough weapons, they could very easily do it. And although the government would have liked to take it as a joke, when January 6th came along, it ended up becoming a real problem because people flew in with private jets and people really made it a thing. It was like Area 51, but it was actually real. These people took their violence to the next level, with Trump ending up supporting them at one point. And when at around 1:15 p.m., when they were all at the Capitol Hill, violence broke loose and the rest of the day carried on so forth.
Yeah, and in addition, just a note, you know, Trump hasn't exactly been very helpful in the situation. No, he's been inciting it since the start. And we're not saying this to just, you know, voice our opinion or, you know, speak out against Trump necessarily. We're stating mere facts here. We're not, you know, putting any sort of spin on this or anything. He has been claiming that the election has been fraudulent for a very long time on Twitter. The social media platforms on which he broadcasts this haven't been, you know, they haven't taken the initiative to censor him or, you know, ban his account, even though they would have done it to any normal account within the first few tweets or, you know, posts. He held a rally very recently, right before this, the storming of the Capitol, where he said, you know, we must fight, and I don't remember what his exact words were, but he did end up inciting this. And on January 6th, they were supposed to validate the election. This was supposed to be more ceremonial, but, you know, they did end up storming the Capitol. And the worst part is that there was not nearly enough resistance from the police. There was no military deployed or anything. You know, they were able to siege the Capitol, you know, carry out this insurrection and stay in it for God knows how many hours, and directly, you know, kind of stick the finger to our democracy, but wave the Confederate flag within the Capitol building. You know, lots of heinous things have been done And it is truly one of the darkest moments in American democracy. But, you know, other sources have would also say the same thing. We want to talk about something on a much more deeper level. So we would like to raise some questions regarding this riot. And the first and foremost one is, why do you think, you know, there was such a difference between the security at the Capitol and, you know, resistance to this insurrection as compared to what you might have seen in the Black Lives Matter protest? Because a lot of people are drawing comparisons, and, you know, it is very just to look at, you know, compare the two side by side. Because one was quite literally just peaceful protest, and then the other one was straight up violence. These guys barged in, many of them carrying weapons and whatnot. So what do you guys think? Shravia?
So in my opinion, although it seems quite straightforward as to why the Black Lives Matter movement was treated much more differently compared to the quite practically domestic terrorists at the Capitol building, most people think it's just because of skin color, and that is definitely a very valid factor. But in my opinion, it's also dependent on the fact that there's a large difference between what BLM stands for and what the domestic terrorists stood for. For example, BLM, it directly undermined the use of the police force. And the police are what are who attacked the Black Lives Matter movement directly. However, the storming of the Capitol building, it wasn't directly related to the individuals who had to protect the Capitol building. For example, the Capitol building is a symbol for the politicians, senators, and everyone that was inside the building. However, they weren't the ones meant to defend it. It was the National Guard and the DC police who were trying to defend it. And there would be no effects on that matter. They wouldn't face any negative repercussions.
Wait, I'm sorry. Your point cut out there for like the last 5 seconds. Could you just restate that?
I was just saying how the domestic terrorists at the Capitol building, what they did would never affect the DC police as a whole on a larger scale, like in the future. It would only affect, quite possibly, it wouldn't affect anybody who was there.
Actually, that's a very nice point you bring up. You know, this might have actually been more personal when it was Black Lives Matter because, you know, they were directly contesting the police. So it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't nearly as important as what this was. So over here, you would expect the security and treatment to be like much less harsh. Of course, those skin color still did play a major role in this, and we can't overlook that. So what do you guys think, you know, we could do to ameliorate that, like, over time? Because I've seen a lot of talk about how this is wrong, and we could go on and on about on the many levels how this is wrong. But, you know, how would you guys want to fix it?
So personally, I would say that we need to make sure police are prepared for something like this again. Because, like, if you were watching like a live stream of what was happening, you could clearly tell that the police wasn't prepared for this. They were expecting protests, but they didn't expect thousands to come and breach the Capitol.
I mean,
so what we need is much better preparation.
I wouldn't argue the point of preparation entirely. Like, the preparation point does make sense to a degree, but if you might have noticed, there's also a clip floating around of how the police simply just opened the barricades and let some people in. You know, what is all that about? That isn't necessarily preparation. That's just lack of care. And some of the police officers were shooting selfies with these domestic terrorists. So,
yeah, those clips are like very concerning. As for now, we don't have concrete answers, but I'm sure there will be investigations and many questions asked as to why that happened. With the police, we're supposed to be defending the Capitol. But specifically speaking about what could be done to make sure something similar does not happen again, which, I mean, there is a risk of, you know, right-wing social media has been full of claims that there will be violence on January 20th, that they will have violence. So the very first move that can be made to make sure something like this doesn't happen again is to have better coordination among the different forces in DC. So like the DC National Guard, the Maryland National Guard, Virginia National Guard, the Capitol Police, etc. And they just need to have much better equipment to be prepared for this, because I'm sure you all saw that clip of the black police officer who was being chased up the stairs by all the MAGA, all the Trump supporters. And that was a concerning scene because he had nothing but a baton to defend himself, and that's obviously not good enough when there's thousands of people storming the building. So lots of questions will be asked about that, but the first thing they can do is better preparation in terms of equipment and coordination.
But I would say that might just hold true for like the Capitol for the Capitol security, right? I don't think you mean like in general for policing, because that's again a very contested issue.
Policing, yeah, that's, if people could argue about that all day long. There's so many different issues at hand with policing in general.
But for like the Capitol in general, they need better preparation.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so for like national buildings and the Capitol in particular, they need better preparation. Yeah, that definitely is a sign for that. Little could be argued against it. So a lot of you guys might have noticed that these domestic terrorists, these Trump supporters, the insurrection they carried out was based on false claims that the election was fraudulent. We've seen multiple sources confirm that this was one of the most secure elections in U.S. history. The Department of Defense, the Department of Homeland Security, I don't know which, there was one department that even assured, there was a chief of one department that assured us that this was safe. The mail-in ballots were repeatedly, you know, verified. Trump's lawsuits all failed within the courts. Yet somehow this false claim continued to, you know, gain traction and incite these people. So my question here is, do facts really even matter anymore? Because Trump was, he had ethos on his side. You know, he's speaking from the House, from the chair of the president of the United, like as the president of the United States. So his word does have some, now I wouldn't say merit logically or factually, but you know, it means more than what the word of a commoner would mean, you know, stating basic facts. It's more convincing. This is the way I should put it. It has, it's more effective rhetorically. Do you think that today that might be all we need to kind of incite this kind of stuff, and people will overlook the facts anyway?
So in my opinion, so the thing with Trump is, people were racist before he was president. The only thing is he gave them an excuse to do so, because now that the leader of what they believe to be the most powerful country of the world is saying racist, anti-Semitic, sexist things in front of a large crowd, they believe that it's their excuse to do so as well. So I don't think it's the fact that it was his rhetoric that convinced everyone. I think it's the fact that his message was already so supported by a lot of people. Even if it was unconsciously, even if it was never displayed out to the public before, it was always there.
Okay. America has, the underlying problem of racism has been very overt here, especially since Trump has come in. We have seen a rise in violence, statistically speaking. You know, we aren't just saying this necessarily out of our opinion or what we've experienced, but like statistically speaking, we can say that there has been more racial violence with him as president. Yeah, and other than that though, I feel like maybe his rhetoric might not be a factor here, but you know, the departure from facts or like logic itself, that has to be very concerning. Like, I know that there's a lot of people who might have been convinced by facts earlier, or might have been, you know, more neutral here, but they have been radicalized over a period of time and, you know, have less belief in facts or are like less convinced by facts here. Like, you know that not all Republicans were necessarily racist. Some of them might just have economic motive, but seeing a lot of Republicans, other Republicans, affirm what Trump is saying, you know, they were singing his songs, like Ted Cruz and Hawley. A lot of other Republicans before this event happened were saying that the election was fraudulent. Over 100 members of the Congress ended up voting to overturn the elections. You know, a lot of representatives and I think a couple of senators. Do you think that people would be convinced by facts now? As compared to former?
I think it's really a matter of how people wanted to react to it, right? Like, this is definitely not going to be the first time, right, that an election has been questioned, right? Because there have always been elections where the results were somewhat close, and there have been ones that were just complete landslides, right? But I think the thing that made this a bigger problem was not that they were questioning it, but because anytime you lose, you always are like, oh, wait, but what if I won, right? And I think it's not the matter of whether they're questioning it or not, but I think it's more of their reaction to it. If they decided to take this completely peacefully and they didn't siege the Capitol, they would definitely have more support in terms of their questions, right? Because some claims were reasonably questioned, right? While other things were just completely just random claims that they're trying to make and prove.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what makes it more of an issue, is that their reaction to it, more than their initial claims of what they were trying to prove.
Okay. Does anybody else have similar feelings or maybe something to say, like, opposed to it?
Well, I want to say that, like, Obama was talking about this a few weeks ago. He was talking about how, you know, in the old days, you could at least agree, like both sides could agree that a certain person won the election or a certain event happened. But now even such a basic fact can no longer be a fact. It's divided into two sides because certain people want to believe in alternative facts because they can't accept that, you know, for example, like their candidate lost or something not very favorable to them in politics has occurred. And unless you can fix that fragmented landscape, you're not going to have any hope of, like, unifying the country.
Yeah, I mean, but how will we go about fixing this fragmented landscape? Because what I see here is, like, this is just kind of, it's a pile-on effect of America slowly, you know, descending away from proper civic knowledge or belief in scientific facts. Like, you see a lot more people today believe in stuff like, you know, the conspiracy theories like this, for like the election being fraudulent, for example, or from earlier, you know, with like the Obama birth certificates and whatnot. And aside from political stuff itself, you know, there's a lot of people believing in pseudoscience as compared to before. Do you think this is like a piled up effect of America's departure from scientific fact or like political fact?
I think it's like, if you were to compare it to like one of the other questioned elections, right, like the Bush versus Gore one, mm-hmm. like even in that case it was very similar in the way that events happened, right? They originally said one person won, right? Then they said, oh, there's an issue, right? But the issue was brought up by the court, right? It wasn't by the losing side. So I think that is what really...
Actually, I think it was the losing side. They requested for, or like they filed for a recount or whatnot. But that's because really? It was okay. Close. But there wasn't... The difference here is that there wasn't nearly as much, you know, like conspiracy floating around back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they announced the recount, right?
And then people...
During the recount, you know, they were like, stop the recount, don't bother doing it.
Exactly.
So people, I think that's really similar.
Yeah, and then people also had like a belief in facts. You know, like if a court mm-hmm. made a decision, that's it. You know, like there is no arguing against it or, you know, continuing on with the stupid cries that say, oh, no, it was still fraudulent, you know, because like all you have to do
people is... People willing to accept the final decision
that's where their argument fails.
Yeah.
I want to kind of, this is more on a philosophical level, so how Solmane was saying pseudoscience is quickly becoming popular too. The thing is, people, this goes on like a deeper human level, people just don't want to accept something that, people just don't want to accept change in general, right? So in a, I guess, political example, like people in the Rust Belt states, for example, they don't want to believe in climate change because they'd much rather believe that the Earth was not at any risk and that, you know, they would get to keep their jobs as like oil workers, for example. They would much rather believe like the less...
What benefits them personally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want to believe that there's something dangerous happening because it comforts them. And in the end, that's what makes people gravitate to these kind of political conspiracy theories as well, is that they want to comfort themselves. They want to, they don't want to accept that something that they don't like happened. They don't like change.
Yeah. What do you think, Shravya?
I agree with Kailash in that people really don't like change, because you see that for so long people have been accustomed to their own ways of life and their ways of thinking, and even all these people that breached the Capitol, none of these ideas that they had, they're not new ideas essentially. They're mostly ideas that have been filled in their brains probably since they were children, because I remember once finding a history textbook from the South where they called the Civil War the War of Northern Aggression. So you see all this propaganda being spread around, and in the end, that's the only propaganda that they've seen their entire lives. They don't even realize that there's a second side to it. So learning so late that there's a second side, I don't think it would do anything for them, in a sense, and they just continue to believe what they've always believed.
It's interesting that you bring up the example of, you know, education in the South, or like, early on, because, you know, the formative years are when you are most malleable as a person, right? So what do you think this says or speaks to about in regards to the state of education in America, you know? Because I know there's a lot of people who aren't properly literate in terms of civics yet, and still they, you know, go on and carry out such radical acts of terror. Or like there's people who aren't properly literate in science, and, you know, they're literate just enough to like be able to be convinced by somebody's argument, but not literate enough to question everything and, you know, re-examine validity. What does this speak to on behalf of teachers in America, or like education in America? Do you think education or the education system in America has failed its constituents, especially like everywhere, and like considering everywhere as a whole in America?
100% I do believe that, because of two things. First of all, everyone's only taught to read the information that they see and write it on a test. They're not taught to question the world around them and to question the facts that they're presented with. And the second thing is, a majority of American education, I believe, is based on perceived American exceptionalism, because this country, many people say that it has an amazing history of people who fought for their own rights, but which is true for the most part. However, there's definitely negative aspects of American history that are hidden away just so that nobody would question their country in the future. I mean, we're the only country that does the pledge every single morning and salutes the flag. I don't believe any other country in the world does that.
That is true. I mean, and this is coming from a guy who's lived in like two different countries before this, so like this doesn't happen anywhere else, guys. And I initially thought this was weird after coming to America, like, you know, what is this? What if you don't believe in God, or like, what if you have different beliefs? Maybe you think America is not as exceptional as it is today. Will you have to like be forced into coercion or whatnot? And I mean, this whole situation reminds me of something that Carl Sagan once said in his book, The Demon Haunted World, where he said he essentially predicted this kind of happening. He said that he sees a foreboding of an America in which his in during his children and grandchildren's time, which is essentially now, where the US is a service and information-based economy, which is what it is now, and all the key manufacturing industries are in other countries, which is what's happening now again. And he essentially goes on to say that people will lose their ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question the people in authority, when people will be clutching their crystals and nervously consulting their horoscopes, their critical faculties in decline and unable to distinguish between that which feels good and what's true. And we continue to slide into this state of superstition and darkness. This is very literally what's happening right now. And, you know, I feel like largely this is the Capitol. What happened in the Capitol is an effect of this. Many people may overlook this as a cause, but if you truly assess it, what happened in the Capitol is an effect of this. People were believing a lie because they want to believe what feels good to them rather than what's true. And they got to a point where, you know, this guy who is in the office of the president, he's inciting them and continuing to tell what they believe is the truth, even though what it may be, you know, the thing that simply makes them feel good. He does that to incite anger in them, to incite rage, to incite feelings of wanting to do harm. And that's when this happened, you know, a quite literal attack on democracy where people break into the Capitol building, do all kinds of stuff, steal podiums, steal mails, desecrate people's offices, pose for photos in the chambers. I mean, it's very, very disturbing. And to see how the world looks at America right now, you know, you can see that the world is noticing how America has ascended into this state of superstition and darkness. Do you guys think there's a way out of this, though?
So, personally, I believe so. You know, I have to agree with both of you guys. You know, there's a famous Mark Twain quote where he says, it's easier to fool someone than to convince someone that they have been fooled. And I think the beginning of that, like the beginning of how we solve this problem, is to teach students critical thinking, right? So, like, right now, we just, for example, in history classes, we just tell them this occurred on this date. But do you examine the thinking behind, like, for example, certain historical events or why they may have significance in our modern world and why they shouldn't happen again? Like, they should be focusing on things like that. And another way would be to have civics classes, right? So, for example, like, this is, again, political, but so, for example, like, Trump supporters are believing that, you know, Mike Pence somehow has the power to overturn the election just by, like, during the counting of the electoral votes in Congress, even though the Constitution says no such thing. People need to understand that that's not something the Constitution says just because they've been told by, you know, Trump or other Trump supporters that something like that can be done. Does not mean that something like that is possible, you know? They need to learn critical thinking. And I think there are multiple different ways of integrating critical thinking into even classes that don't relate to politics.
Yeah, and I think we ourselves were lucky given that we went to decent schools, like, and we had good teachers. Like, I know that a lot of people who are fortunate enough to be able to take a push, especially to have a good teacher like Martinez, like me, Shri, and Shravya had. We were all in the same period. And, you know, we can remember how he told us to, you know, think critically. And he taught us that we can argue for both sides. And he is willing to accept the answer as long as a valid argument is presented. Even when we were writing essays, you know, we weren't necessarily thinking in terms of how we can achieve all of these points rather than how we could present our argument, given that we were asked a question, right? I mean, not everybody is that fortunate, and I think that they need to improve the state of education in America, especially when concerning political discourse, civics, and science in general. because people have to start believing in facts again. You know, this is very, very, very disturbing. One proposition that I have in order to fix this and fix this a little bit faster is that have a class on civil protest, even for like a semester or a quarter, you know, like how they do health. Have a class on civil protest. You know, even if you disagree with something and your argument may not necessarily be based in facts, at least be taught to protest peacefully. You guys do have the right to express your opinion given by the First Amendment. You guys do have the right to gather, but peacefully. You know, if you do it with violent means, it becomes an insurrection and you face dark days in democracy like this. You know, this is not what it's meant to be about.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I think the key word there was peacefully, right? Where if these people had done it the same, exactly what they had done right now, but they had done it on the streets with no weapons, right? And they just had signs, I think it would have been a very different story. Instead of the police being attacked, I think they would have actually been protecting them, right? When you do things peacefully, you might actually see results. And I think that as we talk about things like educational change, I think things have definitely changed over the past few years, right? Originally, when the internet first came up, it was believe anything on there. Then later they put classes to say, you have to fact check everything. You have to make sure that you're getting things from reputable sources. So like even like my teachers, right? I've been fortunate enough to have amazing teachers like Somei said. I think they've obviously told us things like this. We never did things like this, right? It was what they said goes. But now we're taught to think differently. Right? We're taught to not necessarily just accept facts, right? There's still tests that do just check if you know something or not, but there are also tests that make you question things, right? Or take things from a different perspective, right? There are essays that you'd write that might say, think of this and write in terms of this person's perspective, right? What would they think in a situation like this? And I think regardless of how this ends up going down in history, I think this would eventually end up being a very big part of what will become the new decade of today.
Yeah, Shravi, do you have any thoughts on this?
Going off on the fact that these are dark days in democracy and we need to be taught critical thinking skills, all these people that stormed the Capitol were taught that if they storm the Capitol, they get what they want. And they're calling themselves patriots. But if you truly look at the history of America and what they want to represent, they broke three huge precedents in history. First of all, America is one of the first, it was the first country to have a peaceful transition of power. That was unthought of when the times that it happened. But for the first time in its history, this was a violent transition of power. And second of all, the Confederate flag had never been inside the Capitol building before, even during the days of the Civil War, when the war was quite literally raging on. It had the only flag that flew over that building was the American flag. And third of all, during during 9/11, it was thought that one of the planes was planned to crash into the Capitol building. However, all those people on that plane, they sacrificed their lives so that the anchor of the American public could be saved. However, these domestic terrorists achieved what no other terrorist organization could do, and that was destroy our sense of security for the democracy. So before they start fighting for the democracy, we need to realize and learn what the democracy actually is.
That is true, and those are very strong words. Yeah, you know, nothing can be said against it. This is completely a factual statement. They did violate what it means to be a democracy in order to preserve what our democracy is today. And you know, this is very dark irony, and I wish, you know, we didn't get to see this kind of stuff, but these are the times, and it is up to us to fix it, you know. And that is why we have talks like this, in which we point out errors in critical thinking or present possible solutions so that we can actually ameliorate stuff like this. Now, coming back to the point, and just to end this off, coming back to the point that everything has to be done peacefully, we have to give a disclaimer, however. Things have been done peacefully, and there have been violent reactions to peaceful protests. You can see that in the Black Lives Matter movement. They were exercising their civic rights. They were doing their civic duties, voicing their opinion. And, you know, they got shot with rubber bullets and tear gas. We can't overlook that. However, even they will admit that, you know, peace is still the way to go. It's just that, you know, the cards have been played against them for so long, against people of color, against people fighting for people of color. Yeah, it's just, you would expect to see a violent reaction when they do it. And that is completely wrong. So one thing that I do encourage our viewers to do, especially once Biden does become president and once the new Senate is inaugurated, you know, now that the Democrats have a majority, we have to email our senators, we have to call our senators, pester them to get stuff like the George Floyd Policing Act passed. That bill has been stuck in the Senate for about 6 months after it passed the House. And I really think that we have to start, you know, ourselves pestering the senators, pestering people in government to listen to us, because it is our interest that they are meant to protect. And, you know, we must voice our opinion. So when the new Senate does get elected, please, guys, email your senators. I sent an email to my senator, Dianne Feinstein. I didn't do it to Kamala Harris because she's obviously the VP elect. So I will send an email to our newest senator when he is appointed, to, you know, push for the George Floyd Policing Act once it is actually, the new Senate is actually in. That's it from my side, though. Do you guys have any concluding statements or thoughts?
No, I think that was actually a very good way to wrap up the conversation.
Before we leave off, there's a really quick word from our sponsors. So stay tuned for our next episode, where we will discuss something new and break down everything for you. It would be appreciated if you guys could drop us a like and write us a review on your preferred platforms. Go check out our website for more information and check us out on Instagram. Share our podcast with your friends if you liked it. We're really grateful for those of you who've been tuned in so far, and we hope you guys can grow along with us on this journey wherever it takes us. And hit that outro!